content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Pat Perry for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Money Matters. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Franklin Times and the News and Observer. The stories today include how to prepare for tax season and CBO projects 4.6% growth this year. And we'll begin with how to prepare for tax season. And this is from the Franklin Times. April is synonymous with many things. Many people get their first glimpse of spring blooms in April, while families of faith look forward to gathering for Passover and Easter. Sports fans may welcome the return of professional baseball in April, while scholastic athletes may associate April with the return of spring sports. Though each of those things tend to be welcomed with open arms, one day in mid-April may not be greeted so warmly. Each year in the United States, April 15th marks the official deadline for taxpayers to file their tax returns. Taxpayers in the United States must file their returns by this day or face penalties. Though the filing deadline may be in mid-April, it's wise for taxpayers to begin preparing to submit their returns much earlier than that. For those who have not done so in the first 2 months of the year, March is a great time to begin preparations to ensure returns are accurate and filed on time. The Internal Revenue Service offers the following advice to taxpayers who want to get a head start on their returns so they make sure they file on time in 2021. Gather and organize your records. Many people rely on a professional to work on their returns, and April is such professionals' busiest time of year. As a result, it's imperative that taxpayers have all their necessary documents ready prior to their appointments. Any delays could force appointments to be rescheduled, and there's no guarantee tax professionals will have any open dates on their calendar as the filing deadline draws closer. The IRS notes taxpayers will need their W-2s from employers, forms 1099 from banks and other payers, and other income documents and records of virtual currency transactions. In addition, people who received an economic impact payment in 2020 should make sure they have Notice 1444, which includes the amount of the payment and how it was received, as they will need that to file their returns. It's also important that people who received unemployment income recognize that such income is taxable, so they will need a record of that income, especially if they did not pay taxes on it when it was received. Where applicable, confirm your individual taxpayer identification number has not expired. The IRS issues ITINs to individuals who are required to have a U.S. taxpayer identification number, but who do not have and are not eligible to obtain a Social Security number from the Social Security Administration. The IRS notes that all ITINs not used on a federal tax return at least once in the last 3 years expired on December 31, 2020. In addition, all ITINs issued prior to 2013 with middle digits of 88 expired at the end of 2020. ITINs with middle digits 90, 91, 92, 94, 95, 96, 97, 98, or 99, that were assigned before 2013 and have not already been renewed also expired at the end of 2020. Visit www.irs.gov to learn more about ITINs. Contact your tax professional. 2020 was a complicated year, and that figures to create some unique challenges as people file their 2020 tax returns. So it pays to contact your tax preparation professional with any questions you have well in advance of April 15th. That's true for all taxpayers, but especially so for anyone who filed for unemployment, received an economic impact payment, or dealt with any other abnormal circumstances in 2020 that could affect their tax returns. Taxpayers may face unique challenges as they begin to work on their 2020 tax returns. More information is available at www.irs.gov. Taxpayers need to check their tax withholding. A new year means a fresh start. One way people can get the new tax year off to a good start is by checking their federal income tax withholding. They can do this using the tax withholding estimator on IRS.gov. This online tool helps employees avoid having too much or too little tax withheld from their wages. It also helps self-employed people make accurate, estimated tax payments. Having too little withheld can result in an unexpected tax bill or even a penalty at tax time. Having too much withheld results in less money in their pocket. All taxpayers can use the results from the tax withholding estimator to determine if they should complete a new Form W-4 Employees Withholding Allowance Certificate and submit it to their employer, complete a new Form W-4P Withholding Certificate for pension or annuity payments and submit it to their payer, make an additional or estimated tax payment to the IRS. The tax withholding estimator asks taxpayers to estimate their 2021 income, the number of children to be claimed for the tax credit, and earned income tax credit. Other items that will affect their 2021 taxes. The tax withholding estimator does not ask for personally identifiable information, such as a name, social security number, address, and bank account numbers. The IRS doesn't save or record the information entered in the estimator. Before using the estimator, taxpayers should gather their 2019 tax return, most recent pay stubs, and income documents, including Form W-2 from employers, Form 1099 from banks and other payers, Form 1095A, health insurance marketplace statement from Marketplace for those claiming the premium tax credit, Form 1099 NEC, non-employee compensation. Most income is taxable, including unemployment compensation, refund interest, and income from the gig economy and virtual currencies. Therefore, taxpayers should also gather any documents from these types of earnings. These documents will help taxpayers estimate 2021 income and answer other questions asked during the process. The tax withholding estimator results will only be as accurate as the information entered by the taxpayer. People with more complex tax situations should use the instructions in Publication 505, Tax Withholding and Estimated Tax. This includes taxpayers who owe alternative minimum tax or certain other taxes and people with long-term capital gains or qualified dividends. how to claim the earned income tax credit. The earned income tax credit can give qualifying workers with low to moderate income a substantial financial boost. In 2019, the average amount of this credit was $2,476. It not only reduces the amount of tax someone owes, but may give them a refund even if they don't owe any taxes or aren't required to file a return. People must meet certain requirements and file a federal tax return in order to receive this credit. Okay, the EITC eligibility, the taxpayer's eligibility for the credit may change from year to year. So it's a good idea for people to use the EITC assistant to find out if they qualify. Eligibility can be affected by major life changes, such as a new job or loss of a job, unemployment benefits, a change in income, a change in marital status, the birth or death of a child, a change in a spouse's employment situation. Taxpayers qualify based on their income and the filing status they use on their tax return. The credit can be more if they have one or more children who live with them for more than half the year and meet other requirements. This is new for this tax season. There's a new rule to help people impacted by a job loss or change in income in 2020. Taxpayers can use their 2019 earned income to figure your EITC. If their 2019 earned income was more than their 2020 earned income. The same is true for the additional child tax credit. For details, see the instructions for Form 1040 PDF. 2020 maximum credit amounts allowed. The maximum credit amounts are based on whether the taxpayer can claim a child for the credit and the number of children claimed. For zero children, it's $538. One child, $3,584. Two children, $5,920. Three or more children, $6,660. The 2020 income limits. Those who are working and earn less than these amounts may qualify for the EITC. Married filing jointly with zero children, $21,710. One child, $47,646. Two children, $53,330. Three or more children, $56,844. Head of household and single, zero children, $15,820. One child, $41,756. Two children, $47,440. Three or more children, $50,954. Taxpayers who are married filing separately cannot claim EITC. Next, silver is the new GameStop as online movement boosts prices. The erratic trading in shares of underdog companies like GameStop that turned markets combustible last week appears to have migrated to commodities, sending silver prices surging to an 8-year high. Silver futures jumped almost 12% on Monday to over $30 per ounce, with silver squeeze trending on Twitter. That exuberance spread to companies that mine precious metals, especially silver. Shares of Pan American Silver surged more than 9%. First Majestic Silver rose 18.7%. Hecla Mining spiked 21.8%, and Coeur Mining soared 17.6%. Silver prices that appear to have gone haywire appear, at least in part, to be an outgrowth of the Wall Street Bets forum on Reddit. An online army of Reddit traders banded together for the past week to snap up thousands of shares of GameStop, AMC, and other struggling chains, stocks that have been heavily shorted, bets that the stocks will fall by a number of hedge funds. In the process, they've done heavy damage to those hedge funds in a stunning reversal of financial power on Wall Street. But the rush into silver futures has created confusion among the chaos, with some retail traders on Reddit calling the surge in commodity prices a false flag. It's a trap, one Redditor warned. Some of these smaller traders believe the hedge funds that were pillaged last week are behind the surge in silver. Communications on messaging boards claim hedge funds have now become active on Reddit, anonymously attempting to drive them out of GameStop bets and into silver, but only after hedge funds had taken huge positions. If it is a trap, no one can say for sure. The number of GameStop shares that have been shorted, bets that the stock will fall, were slashed by more than half in recent days, according to a report Monday by the analytics firm S3 Partners. Shares of GameStop Corporation, which signaled a seismic and perhaps short-lived power shift in financial markets, fell 25% Monday. But the stock price, as it has been for more than a week, is tremendously volatile. The price was up sharply before the opening bell. The battle over GameStop, according to Morgan Stanley, may have played a part in igniting a market correction. The correction has arrived, wrote analyst Michael Wilson, saying that in addition to other market forces, aggressive short squeezes have led to a significant degrossing by hedge funds. Markets corrected 3 to 5% with many of our favored trades taking a much needed and expected hit, Wilson wrote. This is normal in an exuberant bull market, but we don't think the correction is over until leverage is reduced further by both institutional and retail investors. The narrative has burst from financial pages, reaching even the White House, where President Joe Biden and Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen were peppered with questions about it last week. On Monday, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki was asked about GameStop and said that the incident market volatility raises an important set of policy issues. We think congressional attention to these issues is appropriate, Psaki adds. The story has also moved out of Reddit chat rooms and into places where silver actually trades hands. Coin dealers are being overwhelmed by orders on Monday. The Silver Mountain, a Netherlands-based bullion dealer, said on its website that due to extreme market volatility, we cannot accept any new orders at this moment, adding it hoped to reopen by the afternoon. Next, administration means business, including more jobs with clean energy. Joe Biden's victory in the 2020 presidential election is seen as a positive development by those who favor renewable forms of energy over fossil fuels. The Trump administration moved to reverse more than 100 climate and environmental rules, considering them burdensome to the fossil fuel industry. Biden, soon after taking the oath of office, took numerous actions to unravel Trump's environmental policies, starting with executive orders to block the Keystone XL pipeline and to return the United States to the Paris Climate Accord. Biden has made combating climate change a national priority, and more people agree it should be. He plans to clamp down on industry polluters, to reduce carbon emissions, and to invest in renewable energy in order to deal with climate change and to help revitalize the economy. His strategy makes sense both environmentally and economically. Here are some key reasons we should start moving away from fossil fuels and toward renewable energy. Fossil fuels' visible effects on climate change. Climate change and its many manifestations, such as wildfire, fires, drought, storms, and hurricanes, increasingly represent a clear and present danger, which our government leaders can no longer dismiss. Considering all of the environmental disasters we are seeing and fossil fuels' culpability in them, renewable energy sources are the best answer. Economic growth, renewables are also a potentially resounding answer as we look to bring an ailing economy back to full strength. Coal jobs are disappearing, but as renewable energy is ramped up, there will be many more jobs available in the solar and wind power industries. As a transition takes place, communities and utilities can start training workers in renewable energy fields. Biden is focused on creating the clean energy economy of the future with millions of solar and wind power jobs that are safer, healthier, and pay very competitively. He recognizes the coal industry had a important role to play in the 20th century, but he knows his job is not to prop up old and dying industries of the past. Instead, we need to invest in new technologies that make our environment cleaner and our economy stronger. National security. Because of our insatiable demand for oil in the world marketplace, the United States is unwittingly propping up the price and helping dictators and terrorists finance their wars and destruction. Just because the United States has become largely energy dependent over the last decade does not mean that we are immune to the global ramifications of our vast consumptions. Then we have to counter this effect by sending our military to unstable regions of the world to try to maintain peace for critical commerce. In essence, we are paying for our oil twice, once at the pump and again with our tax dollars. Human health. The cost and risk to our health are real. The burning of fossil fuels and emission of pollutants in the air that we all breathe causes chronic respiratory diseases like asthma in children and COPD in the elderly. This causes a drag on our education system and our economy because hundreds of thousands of children are often missing school and their parents are missing work to take them to see doctors and other healthcare specialists. This is not to mention the dangers and risk to their health and esteem and confidence as desired productive members of society. There is no doubt that those countries that address those problems and turn them into opportunities will be the ones that thrive for decades to come. So, the United States shouldn't just be taking part in the growing clean energy revolution. We should be leading it, as the Biden administration is poised to do. And this is not a partisan issue. And this is an editorial by Steve Melnick, from the News and Observer. Next, CBO projects 4.6% growth this year, but jobs lag. The U.S. economy is projected to grow at a 4.6% annual rate this year, but employment isn't expected to return to pre-pandemic levels until 2024, the Congressional Budget Office said Monday. The 10-year outlook said the economic recovery from the coronavirus got a boost from an unprecedented wave of government spending to combat the outbreak, such that growth could pass its maximum sustainable level in early 2025 before returning to a long-run average of 1.7%. Based on the CBO's projections, economic growth would be the strongest since 1999. While the growth estimates suggest a quick snapback in gross domestic product, the CBO projection shows that hiring will occur at a lag as consumer spending returns and employers become more comfortable with aiding workers. CBO projected an average of 521,000 jobs will be added monthly this year, a pace that would fall to 145,000 in 2022. Congress has spent $4 trillion to keep the economy stable since the pandemic shuttered schools, offices, restaurants, gyms, and other businesses, leading to roughly 10 million job losses and an economic decline of 3.5% last year. The CBO estimates factored in the roughly $900 billion approved in December, but they excluded President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion plan because the projections are based on current law. Biden supporters can point to the CBO's projection of a three-year recovery in hiring as a need for more aid, but Republican lawmakers can simultaneously argue that less money is needed to boost the economy because the CBO estimates that the total economy will return to its pre-pandemic size in the middle of this year. Maya McGuinness, president of the Committee for a Responsible Federal Budget, said the CBO estimate suggests that Biden's proposal appears to be excessive relative to the needs of the economy. The president is exactly right to focus on the need to contain the virus, and his American Rescue Plan includes many important elements, she said, but many of his proposals are larger than necessary and could be better targeted. White House officials have repeatedly said the risk of going too small in response to the pandemic are greater than going too big with aid. We have run out of time for today's Money Matters. I hope you've enjoyed it, and be sure to listen next time. I'm Pat Perry, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode of Money Matters is underwritten by the Carter Glass Insurance Agency, serving the community since 1974. They can be reached at 919-781-1973. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Money Matters is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.